I'm going to take this down several notches and move away from extremes that I discussed or implied with airplanes and submarines, and now talk on a more general level of two nervous systems interacting. Because even though we are dealing with attachment issues, memory issues of how a relationship, a primary attachment relationship, works and should work based on our experience, we also have now the arousal system that is interacting with that other idea, where we have two nervous systems that are either going to play well with each other or not play well with each other. So in the airplane area, in the sympathetic area, there is fight, flight, or freeze. And when we start to fall out of a certain range of arousal, let's call it window of tolerance. Dan Siegel and Pat Ogden use that term, window of tolerance or social engagement system. Let's imagine for a moment that there is a window of tolerance, an area of optimal arousal, whereby we're able to think. In that range, that social engagement range, technically we have enough oxygen and enough glucose to drive the entire brain. Now let me back up here and explain something. The fast brain that I've been talking about, the primitive brain, the brain that we're using most of the time, the one that operates on memory only, that doesn't ask our permission before it does things, that part of the brain does not require a lot of resources. Actually, it doesn't require a lot of oxygen. And so it's free to operate even when we're under a lot of stress and we're low resourced. However, the slow brain, the brain that we think is our better selves, that thinks through things, that comes up with relative solutions, contingent solutions, that slow brain is resource hungry. It takes up a lot of glucose and a lot of oxygen. When we are under stress, when we start to feel threatened, that window of tolerance or that social engagement window where we have enough glucose and oxygen to run even the left hemisphere begins to narrow, and we begin to move out of that window. If we move up into the high sympathetic area, we go into what's called fight, flight, or freeze. Now, freeze is basically deer in the headlights. It's not the same as collapse. Just want to say freeze is up there, and it's just a momentary locking. If I were in the middle of the street and I saw a car coming at me, I lock for a moment. Do I fight or do I flee from this oncoming threat? So in that era, we start to fight or flee. The question is, do you tend to fight or flee when you're in conflict? Are you a fighter or do you tend to run away? The other question on a nervous system level is, how fast do you recover from the fight or flight place? Now, there have been studies to suggest that the average person takes around 20 to 30 minutes to fully recover from that state. But there are people who cannot. There are people who stay angry and stay in this hyper-aroused state for hours, and they don't have any internal mechanism to break or slow that process down other than to run out of gas. And this is not only very hard on the body, but it's hard on all relationships. So if you have a hard time recovering from a high arousal state, and likely it's going to be one that involves anger, that's going to be a problem, and the problem we're going to have to address here. And that's going to be a problem in relationship, because everybody needs to recover. And you're going to come to understand here that attachment partners are wired together. Where one goes, so goes the other. If one goes down, the other goes down. If one flies up into hyperspace, the other one flies up into hyperspace. So you're not alone here. If you can't recover very fast, neither can your partner. Now, if you are in the submarine area, the question is, under conflict or in distress, do you collapse? Which is very different from fight, flight, or freeze. Do you collapse, faint, or play dead? That is a different reaction to stress, a different reaction to threat. If you tend to do that, the question also is, how fast do you recover? Now, I said before that submarines are slower than airplanes, but not that much slower. So unlike somebody who stays in fight, flight, or freeze, or they're not going to stay in freeze very long, but fight or flight, that person stays in a tizzy for a long time. But somebody who collapses or faints or plays dead, plays possum, do you stay in your room for 3 days depressed? That's going to cause a problem also in relationship, because where you go, so goes your partner. The theme, basically, of this whole program is not about self-regulation or taking care of yourself. It certainly is about knowing who you are and how you operate and taking responsibility for that. But what I hope you get out of this is that in primary attachment relationships, we are regulated by our partner. We regulate each other. So it's important for your partner to know, if you are someone who collapses, how to get you out of a collapse state or how to keep you from going there. If you are someone who fights or flees, it's important for your partner to know about that and how to either keep that from happening, or when it happens, how to shorten the period that the person fights or flees. So we're working here to know how to deal with the other person. This is not about you learning how to not collapse or faint or not fight or flee. That's not what this is about. You're going to do what you do. What we're trying to do is to get you to be good managers of each other, to be in each other's care, to be experts on each other, to be good parents to each other, to be able to handle each other, because we can't do these things by ourselves. We need another person to help us.